This is a replay of our Sunday, October 2nd church service. We hope you enjoy the message and the sermon. God bless you.
Satisfied, He is all that I need. ears are kind of small, sorry. Hey, neither height nor depth can separate us.
Neither height nor depth can separate us.
Hell and death will not defeat us.
Hell and death will not defeat us.
He who gave his son.
He who gave his son to
holds me in his love.
Holds me in his love.
Neither height
nor depth can separate us. Hell and death
take away the blinders, the veil that we sometimes hang on to because it's comfortable, Lord. Remove it in Jesus' name. Give us a revelation of who you are, oh God. Give us a revelation of who you are, Jesus, the Son of God, the mighty King of kings, the ruler of nations, oh God. Be our vision, Lord. Let us see with your eyes, oh God.
Be all else to me. Say-
love of God.
Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name.
Praise you, Lord.
Just the ladies sing, my comfort. seated this morning. Praise the Lord. Just going to move this aside here so I don't bang into it. I'm going to let all the children make their way to Children's Church this morning. And if you have your Bibles, let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 10. I'm going to be talking about it's a sign of the times. It's a sign of the times. How many know there's a lot of things happening in our world today? Even as we are here in this auditorium, things are taking place all over the world. And for some, you know, this is a bit of a lull. You know, we went through a time of difficulty, and it seems that things have quieted down. But how many know the devil's still at work? Let me say that again. The devil is still at work. And we just need to be aware of what's taking place, what's happening in the spirit realm. That's the realm that we are concerned about today, is the spiritual realm. There's a natural realm and there's a spiritual realm, and the spirit one is what we're concerned about this morning. That's the one that impacts us the most. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places. Father, I just thank you today for the work of the Holy Spirit. I pray this morning that you will speak to us, O Lord, that you will minister to us as we dig into your word, O God, that the eyes of our understanding would be opened, O Lord, in this hour. Father, that we would perceive all that you have for us, all that you're saying to us. In every dimension, Lord, we would understand that you are at work. You are bringing together a remnant of your people, that in these last days, God, you are going to raise them up. Come on, somebody. You are going to raise them up as a mighty army in the name of Jesus to counter the works of Satan. In Jesus' name. Amen. I've been preaching through the Bible. We started in 2 Corinthians, and now we're in 1 Timothy. I'm preaching through the entire Bible to really show you how important it is to understand the entirety of God's Word. To be open to what the Holy Spirit says in every single book of the Bible. Can somebody say amen this morning? Verse 1. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, explicitly says that in latter times, some will fall away from the faith. Now, that's not exciting, is it, to talk about that? And thank God the word here is some. Not all, not most, but some. Some will fall away from the faith. You know, it's not how you start the race, it's how you complete it. How many know that anyone can start a marathon? How many know that's true? You can put your name into every major marathon around the world. You can start the race. But the person that wins is the one who finishes in first place. Hello. And even those who finish are congratulated. Hello. You know, sometimes people get all excited in the first few days of salvation, and then reality hits that, you know what, I've got to commit myself to this. I've got to surrender myself to the Lord Jesus Christ in every area of my life. The period from the first coming of Christ until his return is implied here as the latter times. Apostasy has existed throughout this period, even to today. But it's going to increase as we get closer to the coming of Jesus Christ. We are going to see more people not willing to pay the price and take up their cross and follow Jesus daily. How many know you got to take up your cross? How many found that sometimes it's difficult to serve the Lord Jesus Christ? There's a price to be paid. How many know that? There's a price to be paid. Now look at the latter portion of this verse, because this is what I want to center in on here. It says, the Spirit explicitly says that in latter times some will fall away from the faith. Why? Why are people falling away from the faith? Well, it gives a reason here in this verse. Because they are paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. And I think it's important that we stop here for a moment and really dig into this part of the verse. The reason that people fall away is because they're listening to Satan himself or demonic spirits that have been sent forth to deceive them and doctrines of demons. What are doctrines of demons? This is not the teaching about demons, but false teaching that originates with Satan himself. Hello? And to sit under such teaching is to hear lies from the demonic realm. How many know that we need to know that what we're listening to originates with the Holy Spirit and the Word of God? Amen. Now, I know I'm going to make some of you unhappy this morning, but that's okay. But one of those demons is, and one of those doctrines of demons, is you don't need to be part of a church to be a Christian. It's awful quiet in here. But how many know that that's a doctrine of demons? That, you know what, I don't need to be part of a church. I can serve God on my own. I can serve God isolated away by myself. I can do it on my own. I'm super Christian. Able to leap over high buildings. I don't even need a car. Did you know that that doctrine, I don't know where it came from, but I know it is initiated by Satan himself, that people can do it on their own. They don't need to be part of the body of Jesus Christ. They're strong enough, they're smart enough, they're intelligent enough to do it by themselves. And let me tell you something this morning. That is a doctrine of devils. That's a major doctrine. The other one is, you can live however you want, and it doesn't matter to God. You can live any lifestyle you want. And I'm not going to get into the specifics of that. But you can pretty much live any way you want, and you're going to make it to heaven. God doesn't care about that, how you live. Even though most of the New Testament, most of the Pauline epistles deal with conduct. Hello? But the doctrine out there is it doesn't matter to God. You can get up in the morning and decide to do whatever you want to do, even though it goes against the Word of God, even though it grieves the Holy Spirit. To God, it doesn't matter. Just live your life, and as long as you've been rubber-stamped by some prayer that you prayed when you were 16 years old, it doesn't matter anymore. You're going to heaven. Someone even tried to convince me that you can be an agnostic and still make it to heaven. You can stop even believing there is a God. And somehow God overlooks all of that, and you're going to be ushered into the kingdom of God. What an awakening it would be for someone who doesn't believe in God to all of a sudden end up in heaven. Think about it for a minute. Wouldn't that be exciting for that person? Wow! Friends, let me tell you something. It's important for us to understand that God does care about how we live. And He wants our life to be a beam of light, a shining example of Christ to those that live in our communities. No, we're not perfect. No, we make mistakes. We fall on the ground and we have to ask God to forgive us. But deep in our spirit, we want to please God with our words and our actions and our deeds. Hello, somebody. We want to. Not that that makes God love us more. But we want to please Him. Hello. We want to please Him with our actions, our deeds, and our words. It's a doctrine of demons. And friends, let me tell you this morning, when you cling to these doctrines and when you believe these doctrines, it's going to take you down a one-way course to destruction. Verse 2, by the hypocrisy of liars who have been seared in their own conscience. False teachers can teach their hypocritical lies because their consciences have been desensitized. It can happen to us as well. We can engage in things over and over and over again, and we no longer feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I want to declare this morning that I thank God for the conviction of the Holy Spirit upon my life. Now, I know that Satan has his work to condemn the believer, but conviction brings hope. The conviction of the Holy Spirit always brings hope. That if you'll turn to God and say, Lord, I don't want to do this anymore. Forgive me of my sins. He cleanses us. He purifies us. He strengthens us to walk in the way, hallelujah, that the Word declares. When we no longer feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit, we need to be concerned about our spiritual lives. When we can engage in sinful activity and no longer feel bad about it or concerned about it, then that's a time that we need to be concerned about our spiritual state. these false teachers could continue to breed their lies and not even feel bad about it. The things that they were teaching were turning people away from the faith. But they didn't feel bad about it because they got a crowd. They got people who loved what they were saying because it made them feel good. How many know when we feel good, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's right? We need to make sure that whatever we hear or whatever we receive lines up with this book in the name of Jesus. Can somebody say amen this morning? It's got to line up with this book. Now, verse 3 is an interesting verse. Who forbid marriage. These false teachers were declaring and saying that marriage should be forbidden and advocating abstaining from foods which God created to be shared with thanksgiving. Now, I want to share something this morning, obviously. When we add anything to salvation, we put ourselves in harm's way. You know, there's a doctrine out there that says you have to be baptized in water to be saved. And unless you're baptized in water, you're not going to heaven. But what about the thief on the cross? He never got a chance to get baptized in water, and Jesus looked at him and said, "This day thou shalt be with me in paradise." And I know even within Pentecostal circles, there are groups that say you have to speak in tongues in order to go to heaven. How many know that's true? Where I grew up in New Brunswick, there were large groups of Pentecostals, and I'm not here to put names on things, but they believed unless you spoke in tongues, you're not going to heaven. Now, if that be the truth, then that would really narrow things down, wouldn't it? But again, that's a doctrine of demons. It's adding something to salvation that you have to do in order to go to heaven. Simple faith in Christ. Hello? Repentance towards God is what the Bible teaches. Faith in the finished work of Jesus, a reliance upon all that Christ accomplished on the cross. Glory be to God. Can somebody shout amen this morning? It's the blood. Oh, I'm more spiritual than you because of what I eat. How many know that these types of doctrines are not new? They were in the New Testament. Paul had to deal with them in the church, infiltrating the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I really want you to open up your ears this morning and think about it. What these verses are saying, neither celibacy nor any form of diet saves or sanctifies. I know there are groups, and I'm not going to name them this morning. I'll let you figure it out. That say you have to eat certain things in order to obtain sanctification. Now, I know they're opening a McDonald's here in Creston.
Oh.
Now listen to me this morning. Am I saying today that we shouldn't use wisdom about what we eat? No, I'm not saying that. Am I saying that there are certain foods that we need to have wisdom about? Yes. God does give us wisdom, doesn't he? Moderation in all things, the Bible teaches. But abstaining from certain foods doesn't make me more holy. Are you hearing me? Holiness is that which is of the heart and the soul and the spirit. It's the attitude of our heart that lines up with the character of Christ. That's what we're after today. Hallelujah. Now, I've been on mission trips. Maybe some of you have. And there have been missionaries that have gone to the deepest, darkest parts of Africa. And they've been offered some interesting things to eat. Hello? Snakehead. Quite a delicacy. If it's cooked over an open fire, the way it should be, with a little bit of salt and pepper, is quite tasty. The Bible says here, foods which God created to be shared in with thanksgiving and by those who believe and know the truth. Look at verse 4. And again, I want to emphasize that God gives us wisdom in the things that we eat. How many know what I'm talking about? I'm not saying just to go out and buy a pot of gold chocolates and devour them to the last level. How many know there are several levels to the pot of gold? There's several levels to the pot of gold. I'm just getting that out there, for Christmas is coming. And my wife, sometimes she allows these pot of golds to come my way at Christmas time. And she'll come to get a chocolate and she says, the first layer is gone. And I used to blame Michelle. If she's listening this morning, I'm confessing my sins openly. And I would say, no, it wasn't me, it was Michelle. But now I can't do that anymore because she's not here. But sometimes I do it anyway. A little wine for thy stomach's sake. My grandmother took that too far and got drunk. True story. Everything created by God is good. Now, I'm not saying that. That's what the Bible says. For everything created by God is good. And nothing, oh boy, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. I didn't write this. I'm just reading it. Everything created by God is good. Now again, please understand that when you read the entirety of God's word, there's wisdom that God gives us. And nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. Now, why do we bother praying over our food? You know, is it just a religious ritual that we go through? Some people don't even pray over their food. They don't thank God for their food. You know, that's a mistake. God wants us to pray and thank Him for our food. That is not a religious ritual. That is a desire from God Himself. Even the Apostle Paul, when he was about to be shipwrecked, when that boat that he was on, that ship, was being tossed by the waves in the book of Acts, and they tossed all the food overboard, he even took time to take a little food and in the presence of them all gave thanks to God. Look at verse 5. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Are you seeing that there? You know, it's more than just thanksgiving. That's important. You know, it's so interesting because this causes cancer one day, and the next day it's of benefit to you. You drink a cup of coffee, that's good. Then another study comes out and says it ought to be 4 cups. And then 2 weeks later, no, it's back to 2 cups. And you should have a glass of wine every day. And no, don't drink any wine. Drink half a glass of wine. Drink a quarter of a glass of wine. Drink a whole bottle of wine. This causes cancer. The next day, it is going to cause you to live 10 years longer. How many know that's all true? I know it's funny, but it's true, isn't it? That's why we need to pray over our food. Glory to God. I know that doesn't sound spiritual this morning, but friends, let me tell you, something spiritual happens when we give God thanks for our food. Glory be to God. What does the word sanctified mean? This means set apart or dedicated to God for holy use. The means for so doing are thankful prayer and an understanding that the Word of God has set aside the temporary Mosaic dietary restrictions. Now, I know Gary just went to the washroom so I can talk freely. See, look back, he's not there. He went to the washroom. He has 5 cows. 3 of them are mine. No. He gave me half a cow. I've got that half of cow cut up. There, he's coming back now. We were talking about you when you were out using the washroom. I got half of that cow cut up. And it's in my freezer. And I had roast the other night. And man, was it ever good. Just talking about it, I'm starting to saliva. And then there was leftovers. And my wife made sandwiches with that roast beef. I think Pastor Raph and Sylvia had some of that. And again, I began to salivate. I began to think about that roast. And finally I said to my wife, is there any left? She says, it's all gone. Now listen to me this morning. There's a purpose. And always there is a purpose to prayer. And maybe there'll come a time where you might have to eat some things that you don't want to eat. But friends, let me tell you, there's a prayer that we can pray of thanksgiving and sanctification unto God in the name of Jesus. And God will overshadow these things in the name of Jesus, because he cares for us. Are you hearing me this morning? He loves us so much. Praise God. Look at verse 6. In pointing out these things to the brothers, and I want to include the sisters as well. And I found this, when I was meditating on this week, I thought to myself, here's some things that we have talked about that for many is not that important. For many, can we talk about something else? And yet, here in this verse, it says, in pointing out these things to the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus. That tells me that what I've talked about this morning is important. Because the devil is always trying to find a way in to the church with false doctrine, things that don't line up with God's word. Being nourished on the words of the faith and of sound doctrine, which you have been following. Verse 7. Not done yet. But refuse godless myths. Fit for old women. Fit for old women. Now, I know there's a lot of movement here this morning during the preaching, and I'd appreciate it if we could keep the movement to a minimal during the preaching of God's word. It says here, on the other hand, train yourself for the purpose of godliness. What is an old wives' tale? Things that are not true. Hello? Things that can be passed down from generation to generation that do not line up with God's word. Cleanliness is next to godliness. Is that in the Bible? No, it's not. I could name a lot more, but I'm not going to get into it this morning. It can be superstitions, types of urban legend that are passed down by older women to a younger generation, folklore or unverified claims with exaggerated or inaccurate details that are not within the confines of God's holy word. Now listen to me this morning, and I hope you are. There's something called the internet. And if you go on the internet, you can find a lot of stuff on the internet. How many know that's true? And you can research and dig, and before you know it, it's noontime. And then you go back to dig again, and before you know it, it's supper time. And you can get so far out there, even beyond the realms of the Word of the living God, and you can begin to grasp things that in reality are inaccurate. So we have to be careful how far we get outside the realms of God's word. That's what the Bible's saying here this morning. We can begin to believe things that are not true, that are inaccurate, that do not come in contact with God's word. For bodily training is only of little profit. But godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Verse 9. It is a trustworthy saying and deserving full acceptance. It's something that we should buy into. For it is for this we labor and strive, because we have fixed our hope on the living God. Hallelujah. That's where our hope lies this morning. It's in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of believers. Friends, this morning, it's a call to be discerning in this hour. It's a call to be discerning in this hour. Not to add anything to our salvation or take anything from it. To be discerning on what we receive and what we feed upon. That primarily it would be the Word of God that feeds us and nourishes us and strengthens us and the Holy Spirit uses to guide us in the name of Jesus. Will you bow your heads this morning? Father, I just thank you for your precious word this morning. Lord, I thank you today that you have set us gloriously free in the name of Jesus. Father, no matter how obscure a passage may be, Lord, it's important. It's important to you that we dig in, that we feed upon your word from cover to cover, from Genesis to Revelation. Hallelujah. Every word is God-breathed and inspired by the Spirit of the living God. And Lord, we just thank you today that we can depend upon you for everything. Everything, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. I'm going to invite the worship team to come forward. We want to thank those that have been listening by radio.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.